If you have your Bible, turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. We begin reading verse 9. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. The Bible says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" Now watch these questions. "And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" That's biblical instruction. "Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, and precept upon precept, line upon line and line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken." Tonight we want to look at this, and we've been talking about the fundamentals, about what we need to know about the Word of God, so that whenever somebody asks us, we'll have an answer. Peter said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to man, ask you the reason, the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear." So we need to have an answer, and we need to have an answer from the Word of God. Our children are learning today in schools, and they're telling stuff like evolution and same-sex marriage and all this stuff, and they're showing them things that's supposed to be adding to what they're saying, and they're showing them, and they're making them think it's all right. So if we're going to try to tell somebody something about God, something about the Bible, something about salvation, something about a God of heaven who loves us with a great love, then we ought to just open up the book and show them. Amen? Kind of like the man from Missouri. You can tell him a whole lot, but he said, "Just show me," and it sufficed. Amen? Sometimes you just show people and it sufficed. But we see here, Paul, the Bible's talking about this, and Paul had mentioned some of the very same facts about the Word of God. Amen? Said how it was profitable for all the things that we need the Bible for. And as we look at tonight, we see these two questions that's asked here in verse 9. He said, "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" I will say anybody that desires knowledge. Amen? So he said, "To anybody that asks wisdom, let him ask nothing doubting." Amen? And God will give it to you. If you want to know something about God, amen, if you don't sleep through it, praise God. God's love will show you lots of things. Amen? Praise God, if you stay awake just a few minutes, amen, God's liable to enlighten you and show you all kinds. But you know what? Having said that, have you ever noticed you get your Bible out and get to read, the first thing you know, your eyelids will start drooping down? Amen? You get to trying to pray and talk to God, next thing you know, you'll be asleep. That's why I say, pray God, if you really want to get a hold of God, you pray out loud. Amen? You focus on the portals of glory and you talk to Him just like I'm a talking now. Amen? Pray God, you can't go sleep when you're talking out loud. You focus, amen. You're focused. You're projected out there to God. And talk to Him like you're trying to talk to Him in glory. Because that's where He is. Amen. So He says, "Whom shall He teach knowledge? And whom shall He make to understand doctrine?" So who's He going to make to understand the Word of God? Who wants to understand? That's who will understand. Those that want to understand the things of God and get what they can. I've talked with people that said they was in church all their life and they don't know nothing about God. Amen. They said, "I don't know nothing about God." Said, "I never prayed, I never paid attention, I never studied for myself." What they're saying is they occupied about 16 or 18 or 24 inches in a pew. And that's what they did. And they didn't take in and glean those good things of God, amen, so that it could excite them and stir them in a relationship with Him. And we get a good relationship with God, and let me just throw this in here. There's no charge, no fee, won't cost you a dime. We get a good relationship with a loving God, and we love Him, praise God. He'll teach us to love all those around us. Amen. He'll begin to change our attitude towards people. Amen. We won't want to be that same kind of person we used to be. But we won't be the kind of person God have us to be. Amen. Amen. Make a difference. So He said, "Who shall He teach knowledge? Those that want knowledge. Whom shall He make to understand doctrine?" The instruction from the Bible are those that need that would like to know God. And He says, those that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. He said, those that have come up in maturity. Not little bitty babies no more. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we just need to grow up and quit being little bitty babies in the Word, praise God, and realize there's God of heaven and all He says is real and all He has to say is for us. Now, it's easy to say, well, bless God, preach on, preacher. Tell them that is. Amen. Tell them, let them have it, preacher. Amen. Shovel it on you. Get them, preacher. Amen. I will say, sometimes something needs to settle down on us. Amen. Hey, sometimes I try to scram through and get all the preaching I can. Because when you pastor a church, amen, you don't get preached to a whole lot. Sometimes I get hungry. Amen. But I thank God, Brother R.A. White, he told me, he said, sometimes you've got to just stop and study for yourself or you'll starve yourself to death. So I always try to take a little time for myself. Amen. Feed me, praise God, before I can feed you. I ain't going to do you no good if I'm starved out. Amen. You ought to be praying. Hey, if you can't pray anything else, pray for your pastor at least once a day. Say, Lord, please feed him a little something today. Amen. Devil like nothing more than we're going to go in a minute, but devil like nothing more than to starve me out. If he can starve me out and deplete me of the Word of God, amen, and destroy my attitude, destroy my thinking, destroy my walk, amen, he'd love nothing more than do that. And he's doing it all around this country. Preachers is falling, they're dropping like flies. Amen. But praise God, if we stay with this book, as Malachi was singing to praise God a while ago, if we stay in the shadow of the Savior, praise God, they strength next to the Lord. So he says that he said he wants to teach us and instruct us. And he says this, he said, for precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little. Amen. So where do we get it? Where do we get our wisdom? We get it from the Word of God. Knowledge and instruction, amen, from the Lord. Amen. So if you see tonight in your paper I give you, we're talking about some things about God and His Word. And first thing we want to talk about, number one, is unity of Scripture. The unity of Scripture. How Scripture comes together, how it ties together. Amen. So number one is unity. U-N-I-T-Y, unity. That's that Word of God in it, the way that God takes a little here and a little there, a precept here, a little precept there, and He brings it together. Amen. For the glory of God. Now, He tells us here that this happened that way. Now, the Bible tells us that the Bible, for our knowledge, wisdom tells us that the Bible was written by 57 authors. 57 authors wrote the Bible. They were farmers, shepherds, tent makers, physicians, governors, and kings. Amen? And it was written over a 1,500 year period. 1,500 years. Amen? A long time. And it was sent out from Babylon to Rome. Amen? That's what the Bible covered. In fact, that was pretty much the world back then, from Babylon to Rome. It covered a spectrum of that society. Amen. And it deals with history and law, poetry and prophecy, philosophy and science, sociology, and most importantly, salvation. Amen. It's all about salvation. But as we look at this tonight in Isaiah's writing, as God's laying it down for him, and he said, this is what we have. He said, you have my words. And he said, I lay it out in these precepts, line upon line. And we see that a precept is a command or an order in writing. That's what a precept is. A commandment or an order in writing. Amen. A line. A line is a rule. Like the Ten Commandments. Amen. Like the Ten Commandments. It's a guideline. Or you might say it's a plumb line. Now in your thing is a typo there. It should be Amos. Amos chapter 7. If you got to go, if you, uh, If you try to go and look in Joel chapter 7, you'll be gravely disappointed. Because Joel don't have but three chapters. Amen? So you won't find it in there if you're looking in Joel. But if you'll go to Amos chapter 7, the Bible's speaking here, and it's trying to, God's trying to get their attention and trying to show the people, His people, that He's there for them. He's there to give them that instruction. He's there to draw a line in the sand, if you will. He said, I want to show you, praise God, how far you can go. He said, I want to show you where you can go to. He said, I want to show you where the stopping place is. We're living today in a world and society. People say, well, you know, we'll just push the spectrum just a little further. We'll just, what you're saying, we're just going to try God just a little bit more. But God says, and He distinctly said, there's a place where God said, hey, there's a line, praise God, drawn, and this is as far as you can go. He said, if you go past this, you've crossed the line. I believe there's a lot of folks crossing the line now. They're being turned over to a reprobate mind. Amen. To live in destruction forever. But the Bible says in Amos chapter 7. Well, let's just go up let's start at verse 4. He said, thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease. I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. What he's saying, he said, Lord, if you keep on, we ain't going to ever get over this. It's just more than we can bear. We're just a little people. But notice what God says. The Lord repented for this, and this all shall not be, saith the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. Amen. Say amen. God's always going to draw a line. He's always going to be a place. Amen. God will allow us to go to. He said, this is as far as you can go. And God does it with a plumb line, a straight line. And see, God, what is he saying here? God don't have some little old squiggly line that you can go a little out and a little in. Amen. God draws straight lines. Amen. This blessed old book, praise God, it's full of straight lines. Places the way God said is the right way. And said, Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? He said, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not again pass by them anymore. He said, I'm going to draw, I'm going to put a plumb line right in the midst of it. I'm going to put, glory be to God. He said, I'm going to put one in the middle. I'm going to put a plumb line that's going to give them direction, praise God. He's going to speak into their heart, going to speak into their soul, going to lead them and guide them into a life of perfection for my glory. Amen. He said, not only have I laid out plumb line, drew straight lines, but he said, I'm going to put a straight line, a plumb line in their midst. Amen, which is none other than the Holy Spirit of God, Lord Jesus Christ, to help us, praise God, in our walk for God. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said, I will not again pass by them anymore. He said, praise God, I'm going to set this thing up once and for all. Amen. So what God does, He lays down some order in writing, precepts, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line. God said, I stack this thing up, amen. I pray God to where it all fits like a puzzle. He said, 57 authors, 1,500 years, and God said, I stack it. He said, it all fits together like a puzzle. He said, you take a little here and a little there, praise God, and it don't matter if it was 1,500 years apart, it'll fit like a glove. You know, this is the only book that we've ever had in society, in human society, praise God, that'll fit together like that. And without the Old Testament, the New Testament don't make no sense. Amen. And without the New Testament makes sense because we've got the Old Testament. Amen. And they go together, praise God, just like a glove. God put them together. So we see this thing, this unity of the Scripture that God has given us. And it's all done under what? The guiding hand of God. All this is brought together under the guiding hand of God. Nobody could do it. Amen. Nobody could put this magnificent book together the way it is without the hand of God. It was God. They were guided. They were led. They were instructed by God. Now they asked the question here. He said, and God says in verse 11, Isaiah 28, He said, for with stammering lips and another tongue will He speak to His people. He's talking about through the prophets. Those old spitting, slobbering, stammering preachers of the Word, praise God, those prophets that herald the good things of God. I mean, He said, I'm going to use them to show you. Amen. To instruct you in the right ways. Praise the Lord. So we have the unity of the Scripture. Amen. God gives it to us. Not only do we have the unity of Scripture, but number two, we have the divinity of Scripture. Divinity of Scripture. D-I-V-I-N-I-T-Y. Divinity of the Scripture. Now what does that mean? That means being divine. Amen? It means the very nature and the very essence of God, who He is. His divinity. Amen. That makes Him God. Amen. And when we see the Word of God, we see the God of the Word. See, I think sometimes we miss it, folks, when we get to, dearly beloved, when we get to looking at the book, praise God, we're not looking to see the author. Amen. But if we get to looking to see the author, praise God, the book will look a whole lot different. Amen. It's a love story from God. I mean, with all the hard sayings, with all the hard things, praise God, it's still a love story from God. God loves us and He gives us His Word so that we might know Him. Amen. Know who He is. God don't want to be some vague thing that we don't know nothing about. He wants us to know about Himself. Amen. Look over at 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He said, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. So where do we get life and godliness? From God. Amen. Through His divine power, He gives us this. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. The knowledge of God. Amen. The divine power. Amen. The divinity of God. Amen. The very essence of God that speaks to us and gives us all things. Now, I don't know about you, that excites me. Amen. He don't say, I'll give you a few things. He say, I'll give you a little bit here and a little bit there. He said, I'm going to give you all things. He said, I'll give you wisdom, unction, knowledge, blessings, help, encouragement. He said, whatever you need, praise God, I've got it for you. Amen. Only a divine God could do that. Than one with the very nature of God Himself. Amen. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding. Now here's the gift. They're gifts. Amen. We don't do nothing to merit these. We don't do nothing to earn them. God gives us because of His divinity, because He is who He is. He gives us gifts. He said, wherefore are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. God says, I want you to be a little bit more like me. The whole purpose of God's writings, instruction, doctrine that He gives us, amen, is so that we can be more like Him. Amen. Amen. Let me ask you a question tonight. Is there anything wrong with being like God? Huh? Is there anything wrong? Can you give me one thing that would be wrong about being more like God? No. So He said, I'm going to give you the power. So I'm going to give you a promise of power to become like me. Amen. Praise God. Only God can do that. Bless His holy name. Partakers of a divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Amen. So He said, what brought us to the place we are was lust of the flesh. Amen. But praise God, He said, God said, I even come to bring, through my divine power, my divinity, I'm coming to bring you out of that. So not only have the unity of Scripture, we have the divinity of the Scripture. God telling us of the very essence of Himself. Amen. The Bible is divine in its contents. Now what we're saying here is it's God-like. Amen. It's heavenly. It's extraordinary. Amen. It's a book, praise God, that we can't even really comprehend. But boy, I like it anyway, don't you? Amen. It's far above all that's human. Amen. Our mind can't comprehend all the goodness of this book. But I tell you, you get the digging in it, praise, and you get the loving, the God of the book, and the God of the book gets the loving on you, praise God, and you get to seeing Him, who He really is, and how much He loves you, how much help He has for you, praise God, how divine He is. Amen. Praise God, the very essence, the godliness that's in God. Amen. And He wants to make a part of who we are. Praise the Lord. It's just amazing. Amen. It's amazing. But we see the divine, that is divine in contents. The Bible contains truth not found in any other book. Amen. The Bible is full of truth. How do you know that? How do we know that? Because the Bible says that those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So the only way we can know how to do that is if God give us the truth. And the Bible says that the truth is Christ Jesus. Amen? That the Lord Jesus is truth. Amen. And when we trust in Him and we rely on Him, we adhere to Him, praise God, we begin to have the truth in us. And the truth in us begins to reveal the things, praise God, it's of God to us. And we begin to become more like Him. Amen? We're a work in progress, church. Ain't none of us perfect. We all struggle. We have our bad days. Amen? Some of us more than others. We fumble and we falter along, praise God, trying to do better day by day with the help of the Lord. But glory be to God, when the truth comes and reveals itself to us, He'll help you get on the right path. Amen. Amen. For the glory of God. Man may find some truth through nature and reason. Amen. You look around here and you can see that this thing, somebody had to intelligent design in this world. Amen. It didn't just happen. Amen. Talking to a fellow the other day, he's a diabetic. He called me and he was talking to after prayer for some people and stuff. He said, "Preacher boy," I said, "God just gave me a revelation the other day." I said, "He did." He said, "Yes." I just realized how big God was. I said, "Amen, brother." I said, "He's big." He said, "Yeah." I said, "But he said, I've just got things." He said, "I'm diabetic." I said, "Yes, sir." I said, "I know that." He said, "Well, I'm just thinking about that." He said, "My pancreas is what produces the sugar. And my body tells my pancreas that I'm low on sugar or whatever." And he said, "It'll make more sugar. And the insulin, whatever that it makes." Amen. And he said, "When I don't need it, praise God," he said, "it don't make it." He said, "I know mine don't work like it should." But he said, "That's the way God designed it." He said, "They ain't going to tell me that some little old creature crawled up out of the ocean, praise God, evolved into who I am, and that thing can work the way that God's got it to work. Praise God, there's no way that can happen." He was excited. He said, "There's a great big God, and He lives in me." Amen. I said, "Glory to God." Boy, I tell you, I'd never heard it like that. I said, "Glory to God, that blesses my heart too." Amen. He said, "Ain't no way that just happened." Let me throw this out while I'm here. Have you ever thought about evolution? Now, they said that some little old creature fell down and some little old cell began to grow, and it lived in the water and swam around, and then it crawled up on the land, and it began to grow and develop into something else and to morphosize into something that it wasn't. Amen? And it began to produce these cells and things and begin to grow, you know, appendages and all that stuff. Amen. But let me just say, okay, if it did, and it did all that, amen, and it was there, and it was all happy, and it was looking around, it was enjoying who it had become. Amen. How in the world did it look around and find another and like it so they could mate and they could be some more of them? So you're telling me two of the same thing had to crawl out, two of the same thing had to metamorphosize into the same thing, and then they had to get together, maybe from somewhere on different sides of the world. Man, I'm talking about, hey, that's a whole lot bigger than my God. Amen. I believe, I'll just believe God said, and it was. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That there evolution, that don't even make good sense to a kid. Amen. You've got to tell a little old kid. Start telling me about stuff like that, and she'll say, Papa, God made them. Amen. I said, you mean they didn't just come up and boom there? And she's, no, said, Bible says God made them, Papa. Amen. You ain't going to convince her otherwise. Amen. Because she done seen in the volume of the book, but God said, and it was. Amen. So he asked her, who made the horses and the... She got the little pony thing now she's into. What's that thing called? My Little Pony. That's what it's called. And you ask her, who made the little ponies? Praise God. She said, God did. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. But we find some things in nature and reason. We look around and we see things. And we realize, praise God, you know, that couldn't have happened without God. What I'm talking about, these things that we see, and we know good well just reasoning. Nature and reasoning shows us that could not be without God. They had to be a godly influence in that. I want to say, glory be to God, they had to be a godly influence in me. Because you don't know how I used to be. Amen? I was the meanest little old rat there ever was. You ask my mama, she'll tell you. But glory be to God, I'm glad that Jesus came, saved my soul, and made me into something different. Amen. God did that. Praise the Lord. Number two, the Bible far exceeds these sources of knowledge. Amen. Some truth is there for us to see in nature. He said the Bible in Romans chapter 1, the Bible teaches that nature itself proclaims that there's a God. And we can see Him in there. But praise God, I'm glad that the book tells us that there's a God. Amen. His Word. And it far exceeds these sources of knowledge. It gives us the knowledge of God and not the knowledge of man. Number three, the truth of the Bible is not discovered by natural man, but was revealed to men by the what? The Holy Spirit. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says, that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, but the natural man, that's that unconverted man, that lost man, that deceived man. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. See, we're living today in an hour that we wonder why all these people around us, they don't understand why we love Jesus. They don't understand why we go to church. They don't understand why we read our Bible. They don't understand why we pray when we go to eat. You know why? Because natural mind, natural man can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to them. That's why it's our responsibility, praise God, do it with love of the love of Christ, so that they see Christ in us and realize there's something different about you and I. There's a difference in us because God has made us different. He's made us unique through His Word. Amen. Praise God. He makes us different. So the truth is not of the Bible is not discovered by natural man. You just can't come across it because it's spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit of God brings to our minds the unction of God and shows us how much God loves us and cares for us. Number four, a person can never learn all there is to know about the Bible. This cannot be said of any other book. Amen. Amen. A person can never learn. Have you ever took a verse of Scripture and just dug? I know Brother Rex, Brother Charles, some of these other teachers have. I mean, just dug and dissected and tore and turned and torn and turned and turned. Took all the words of a verse and tried to dissect it and get every ounce out of it. Amen. Oh, and you think you have. Boy, you're so happy, you say, I got all! And then two or three days later, a week later, a month later, a year later, you turn over and you open that up and you begin to read that verse and then another line somewhere will come up, and another a precept, another line, praise God, another communication from God, and you begin to put it together, and you say, oh my goodness, I never saw that before. I didn't realize that was there. Amen. You cannot, praise God, deplete the Word of God. I told you a story, a little old fella. A fella went over to England to preach. And while he was there, he met a young preacher over there. And that young preacher was really grateful he got to meet this old man of God. And the old man of God thought, well, to appease him, he said, yeah, I said, if you ever get over to the States, he said, look me up. I'll let you preach. So little time passed, and come find out the little old boy showed up at the old fella's church one day. And he said, well, I said, I told you I'd let you preach. He said, come back tonight and I'll let you preach. Little old boy come back tonight, and he opened up his Bible. He said, turn to John 3:16. Amen. Glory be God. He preached out John 3:16. Power of God fell on that place. Amen. The old preacher said, come back tomorrow night. He said, church, just come back. Amen. The next night, the little old boy said, all right. So he come back, got up there and said, turn your Bible to John 3:16. They said he preached night after night after night after night out of John 3:16. People get, the roof come off that place. People getting saved, born again. One verse, John 3:16. Amen. Praise God. Because you can't deplete it. You can't exhaust it. You'll never learn it all. Amen. So we see the unity of the Bible. We see the divinity of the Bible. Number three, we see the completeness of Scripture. The completeness of Scripture. If you look at Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. Matthew chapter 26, verse 53. The Lord says this. He said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father? Now this is at Gethsemane when they come to take Him. He said, He shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels. But how then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus unto the multitude, are you come out as against a thief with swords and staffs for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and you laid no hold on me. Watch this, verse 56. But all this was done that the Scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook Him and fled. But we see God Almighty, the completeness of Scripture, everything that the old prophet said would come to pass. Jesus said, it's being fulfilled. All the things, the old prophets, all the things that Jesus Christ told us, Brother Rex, it will be fulfilled. Down to the very letter, the dot in the tittle, praise God, it'll all be fulfilled. Amen, praise God, because God said it would. Amen. Completeness of the Scripture. It contains not only a record of prophecy, but the fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus said, all this must be fulfilled. All the preaching, all the teaching, all the instruction of the old prophets, the saints of God, He said, it must be fulfilled. Amen. So not only is there unity in Scripture, divinity in Scripture, but there's completeness in the Scripture. You want to be complete tonight? Just get complete in Jesus. Amen. Get complete in the Word God. Get complete in the Word God. Amen. Get your face in the book. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. And I guarantee you, He'll change you like you've never been changed before. Amen. The Bible is the message of God. Jesus Himself quotes from no other book. Jesus doesn't quote from Plato or some great author of this world. Most of the Lord Jesus' quotes is from either the Psalms or Deuteronomy. Amen? Praise God. Most of what Jesus quoted, He was just quoting the Word of God. He was laying it out there for them that they might see it. We see Jesus as He quotes these things from God. Its words were often on His lips. Look at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Who was he quoting? He was quoting out of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. He said, thou shalt tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. Praise God. The Lord was quoting Scripture. Amen. He says, and he also quotes again in chapter 12 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 4. He says if you go back to verse 3, he said, but he said unto him, have you not read what David did when he was hungered and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat of the shewbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priest. Amen. He was quoting out of Exodus 25 and it's the law out of 25 and 30 that said that only the priest can have the showbread, but he was quoting from 1 Samuel chapter 21 verses 4 through 6. Amen. If you read that chapter 21 verse 4 through 6, it said that the priest had taken the showbread off, amen, because it had become stale and he had put on the fresh bread. And he took that bread that he had taken out and he gave it to David and his men, and they did eat. Amen. But Jesus quotes it. I mean, the completeness of Scripture in Jesus' quotes. In Matthew chapter 21 and verse 42. Matthew chapter 21 and 42. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, a stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Amen. He was quoting from Psalms 118, verses 22 and 23. Amen. He said, have you not read about the stone that was rejected and how it becomes the head of the corner? He said, glory to God, Jesus says, ain't that a marvelous thing? Amen. He was talking about himself. He said he would become that head. He was that head of the corner. Praise God. Amen. So we see in the Word of God, we see the unity of the Scripture, the divinity of the Scripture, and we see all the way to the end the completeness of Scripture. One day in a little while, the Word's going to be fulfilled in our hearing, and we're going to go out of here and be with the Lord, just like He promised He'd do. Amen. He said, I go away to prepare you a place. But he said, if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. The completeness of Scripture, and it's going to be complete in us. So in closing, if the Word of God was good enough for the Son of God, should it not be good enough for the child of God? For you and I. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is God's Word, shouldn't it be sufficient for us? Amen. Should be for all we need. Because God's Word is perfect. Amen. It's a perfect God to a people that's imperfect. But praise God, it's a way to make us perfect in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So we see the Word of God and how effective it is. Amen. How spiritual it is, how helpful it is, the unity of it. Amen. It all comes together. It all fits. Amen. And it's all given for me and you. What a God we serve that would do that for us. Amen. I don't deserve all this. I deserve just be left wandering around trying to figure out for myself. But God says, you know what? I'm going to give it to them in the volume of a book that they might know me. Amen. Praise God. And that I might give them the guidance and the leadership and help that they'll need in order to make a formed decision. Amen. Bless His holy name.